My name is Arshia Sandozi, 19-year-old college student, and I go to school at Carleton in Minnesota. I've been in Minnesota most of my life, actually, but I was born in Texas. We moved because we'd heard that they were starting up an Islamic school near the Twin Cities, and it just worked out that my father got a job here, and we moved here, and that's where I started school, at Al-Amal, in preschool. I didn't really notice any significant challenges until 9/11. I was in fifth grade, I remember that, and we were on a week-long field trip to an airplane base, of all places. and it was the second day of our field trip. That was, I think, 9/11 was a Tuesday, wasn't it? It was the second day of our field trip, and we had been going to this, aeronautical center where they were teaching us about physics and about airplanes and about lift and things like that, and our field trip was actually canceled as a result of that. But I remember going home, and I remember my parents not letting me go out to try out the kite because they were watching the news, and I guess that immediate hysteria about it being a terrorist attack and who could have possibly been behind it was really worrying to them. And we didn't live in a bad neighborhood by any means. It was like this really small residential community. I remember hearing about it, and I remember a lot of kids being picked up that day from school. It didn't really sink in for me. I wasn't the 10-year-old to watch the news. In Al-Amal, we had neighbors. We had really, really kind neighbors who would help out with the street crossings and things like that, but who also, when after 9/11, we would get sort of bad press with the rest of the neighborhood, would stand up for the school and for the fact that they'd been living next to the school for years with no incident. It's a lot more private here at Carleton than it's, I don't know if private is the right word, personal. It's a lot more having to motivate myself because there isn't a masjid in town. Last year was my first year at Carleton, and it just worked out that in this community where there are maybe 12 or 13 Muslim students, three of them ended up on the same floor last year. One of them was a girl. Carleton last year started with, in the middle of Ramadan, so there was, that initial hurdle to contend with. Carleton has, a special dietary needs employee, someone who just deals with people who can't eat things for allergy reasons, for religious reasons, because Lent is a big thing here also. So he really helped with our meals and things of that sort, packing them away for us for the morning and things of that sort. I was really lucky about was I had a fantastic, very, very open and very, the most loving girl as my roommate. And, I explained to her at the beginning of the year, so I'm going to pray in here. I figured out the direction and all that sort of stuff. And I was like, so here's what's going to go down, basically. Five times a day, I'm going to be in here, and I'm going to be facing that wall, and I'm going to be praying. And just, I told her, if you ever, ever have any questions about it, please, please, please ask me. And she did ask me. It was a lot more, it was really easy. She made it a lot easier for me to lay down what I needed rather than just being bam, this is what I need from you when I'm praying. She asked me, is there anything I should do? Should I not talk? Should I not play music? And I was like, yes, that's exactly what you should do. Thank you so much for bringing it up for me. The first few times were awkward because she tried to talk to me, not realizing, like, I was praying, but she was so sweet about it. I'm amazed at how much people here know. There's an Islamic history class being taught right now, and I know three non-Muslim friends of mine who are just taking it because they thought it sounded interesting. And so it always amazes me, not just specifically that people are learning about my religion, but that people here at Carleton are just so well-informed and so curious about so many different things. And this just happened to be one of them. I didn't have to explain Ramadan to a lot of people. Like, I would just mention it, and they'd be like, oh, Ramadan, that's the month you fast in, right? My best friend here is a non-Muslim, but she came and she lived with us over the summer during Ramadan. And she tried it out. she was really, really sweet. It's challenging at times because my parents grew up in a very different place and in a very different time and culture. I'm lucky, I think, in that my parents do trust me and they do place a high, high value on education, because it was a huge deal for me to go to school away from home, to dorm, because it's not something that they grew up knowing. It was always their line, like, we want you to have fun, but you have to realize that our type of fun is not always the same. I think a lot of what worries parents, especially first-generation parents, is kind of dropping their kids in an environment where they don't necessarily control all the variables, or they don't necessarily know who's out there and what values they're espousing. And so if they can drop their kids off, and kids in my family still includes me, I have not yet escaped that thing. I go home and I want to go out somewhere, I have to ask. But if you give parents an avenue where they feel comfortable dropping their kids off to spend even a couple of hours just doing very normal things, but doing them in an environment that their parents can be assured of, that they will be values that align with their own, is something that MYM started picking up on so many years ago, and something that the Islamic Center and MYM are still trying to do, and I think they've gotten better at it because they've been doing... When I was there, we did a few movie nights, and late night movies were always out of the question, but if you could get a group big enough and safe enough, parents were fine with it. They were down. They were more than willing to send their kids to these events that they might have restricted them from otherwise. Mm-hmm. And I think as people start to reach out to each other, I know that the MSA, the Muslim Student Association at the University of Minnesota, is huge and thriving lately. And it's fantastic, because that wasn't the case even a few years ago. But it's becoming the case. It's becoming, like, the first generation kids are finding out a way to kind of compromise their parents' beliefs with what they want to do. And I think that's great. And these organizations are really helping. I actually served on the board of MYM for a few years. MYM was the Muslim Youth of Minnesota, which was kind of an offshoot of our Islamic Center, which was our, like, community center. And I got involved with them because I went to their first ever summer camp that they'd had for Muslim teens. And they asked for participation there, for volunteers there. And I got to serve on the board that first year, and it was so much fun. Just getting to see these kids who I'd gotten really close to at camp, and putting into effect all of these activities, because you tell your parents, like, you want to go to a movie with your non-Muslim friends, and they're like, okay, who's going to be there? And who's driving you? And when does the movie end? But you tell them you're going with MYM, and they're like, oh, have a good time. Say salam to everyone there. So that was so much fun. Like, being able to do a lot of the things I'd wanted to do that I'd never really gotten a chance to. We actually planned that first, we planned a prom. Mm-hmm. That was just for Muslim girls, because one of the big limiting things, I guess, like the big thing that keeps Muslim girls from going to social events is the presence of guys and the fact that they can't, they have to be very, very modest in their behavior and in their dress. So this was a private event. This was dress up. You can take off your scarf because it's going to be all girls. We can take pictures. We can have music. We can talk, do all sorts of stuff like that. And that was a fantastic experience. I personally cannot see a life where I don't involve my family. Mm-hmm. And if my family is going to be an important part of my life, there's just some things I know that my dad won't accept, some things I know that my mom won't be comfortable with. Mm-hmm. And like, barring, like, I don't want to be cut off from them. Mm-hmm. Over silly things like this. Mm-hmm. So it was important for, that's why it was important for me, I guess, to come up with ways that we could both kind of win, because I wasn't going to be happy sitting at home all the time, and they weren't going to be happy having me out all the time. So, I mean, it's what every family really has to do, like compromise on curfews and like allowances and stuff like that. But first generation, I think there's just that added layer of, it's like not only what your parents want you to do, but the fact that their expectations are just so different from the very beginning. I think it starts with my mom, who was a woman who grew up in India, or in a community where she didn't really need to do much. She could, part of the expectation was that she would eventually get settled down, but to get settled down, she didn't need to really learn or advance her learning or have lofty ambitions of that would give her the ability to earn in her own right, to like have a place. And what my mom actually did, and what her family was really supportive of, is she went to medical school in a time when a lot of people or a lot of girls got married right after high school. I would love to live up to that and be to work, I mean, even a fraction as hard as she did. And it's kind of related to the other person I really admire, who was my grandpa, who passed away over the summer. And I learned so much about him after his passing that I wish I'd known beforehand. My grandpa had always been so, so, so supportive. He loved to hear that anybody was pursuing higher education or like going on to study more for the sake of learning more. He really encouraged me. I remember when I was applying to schools, he was like, no, I want you to apply to everywhere, to like the most selective schools. I don't care if you think you won't get in, but I want you to make an effort and see, and I want you to like keep learning and keep doing and keep pursuing more in that way. I want to apply it to the way people think or encourage themselves to do things. I know that sounds kind of strange, but when I took my first econ class here, one of the really, really intriguing concepts to me was incentives and how you get people to act in a way that's beneficial to them a lot of the time, but beneficial to like society as a whole. And so it's really important to align private and social kind of inclinations. So I want to do a neuroscience concentration and like figure out if there is something in the brain, which is a research opportunity I have actually at the U. The summer is looking into how hormones affect brain development and depression in teenagers, but I want to see like if there's something about the brain that gives people more willpower or more like affinity to taking steps that are ultimately good for them. Like all of us know that that bag of Cheetos is not good for us, but how many of us can like really say like it's bad for us, so we're not going to eat it and like follow through with that? I guess I'm just trying to figure out how to phrase it. We went from a very private community to one that is very deliberately trying to integrate itself with the state, with the country, with politics, with like the social aspects of living, in our case in Minnesota, but just of living anywhere where Muslims are not a majority. My dad, we talked about this a little bit, my dad is very passionate. He worked as a board member for the Minnesota Advocates for Human Rights when they were called the Minnesota Advocates. They're now just called the Advocates for Human Rights. He sat in on a lot of meetings and helped with fundraising. He got me and my brother involved also, and we enjoyed the work. What we would do is we would table at the state fair, and we'd be wearing the Advocates t-shirts, and we'd be speaking about their topic for that year. I remember one year that stood out was immigration. And I still have this shirt. It says immigration fuels our nation on the back, and I get comments about that because that's still a huge topic. Mm-hmm. I guess advice for Muslim youth today would really be to make your Muslim identity part of who you are and not something separate that you have to keep referring back to. It's very important for you, I think, especially in your teenage years, where your identity is something you're always questioning, to be very deliberate about making your religion part of your identity and not a side of yourself and not something separate from who you are.